The text for tonight is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. So if you'd like to take a moment and look that up. It says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." You know, the book of Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul to the saints at Ephesus. And to those who are faithful in Christ Jesus, it says in the opening part, those who are faithful in Christ Jesus, I hope that would be us. And that would be my prayer anyway. But it is more than just written to a select group of people in one geographic location, in one time period. It is rather written to those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And if that is you, then it is written indeed to you as inspired by the Holy Spirit. So that would be us, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with His blood, as 1 Peter says in 1 verses 1 and 2. Paul wrote this while he was in bondage in prison, about the same time as the book of Colossians. However, Ephesians was written as if to the church in general, like I was saying earlier, not specifically dealing with a particular matter like what may have been happening in Corinth at the time or in Colossae at the time when he wrote the letter to the Colossians. There was a heresy that was going on. It's not real specific there what the heresy was. And that's okay because we have a tendency to like the nitty-gritty details and get distracted by those types of things rather than not be distracted by heresy in general. Ephesians covers a lot of very important topics that just deal with Christian life in general. And they are things that are important in the Christian walk. One of those things that he deals with would be kindness, specifically being kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving each other. Those of us who were raised in church in Christendom, those of us who went to school, which is probably all of us, those of us who had mothers and fathers that told us to be kind, have heard the word kind a lot. And almost so much that the tendency is to kind of belittle the word kindness, not purposely necessarily, but to not really think the depth of the meaning of kindness, especially as it is used in Scripture here, and to just to kind of, we just read it quickly, kindness. Kindness is a word that we see all the time, but kindness isn't always a word that we define well in our own hearts and minds, especially with regard to the way the Lord uses kindness in our own lives and the way He applies His kindness to our benefit. You know, kindness, you know, according to worldly standards, it's what good people practice, good people that do good things that go to heaven. If you know what I'm talking about, the people who say, "I've lived a good life, and therefore I'm going to go to heaven." And I'll touch more on that later. You've heard or you've seen the bumper sticker, "Commit Random Acts of Kindness." The movie Pay It Forward, it was kind of a do kind things to people just to do it. It was a nice thing to do. But kindness and niceness and doing nice things, it just kind of it just was on a more of a superficial level. And it's more of a do it to be nice, do it to be positive. You know, do it so that you feel good about yourself. Be kind so that you can feel good about yourself. Kindness is, again, it's like a child's lesson, Johnny. You be kind to Susie. Be kind. Okay, you need to be kind to your little brother. You need to be kind to your classmate. And again, all that means is be nice. But there isn't necessarily understood a cost that is associated with kindness. Kindness and that's nice have become synonymous, a thing that is worth acknowledging for politeness' sake, but quickly dropped in order to move on to more important things. But what is kindness? Is it being nice? Is it being polite? Is it a demeanor? Is it that important in God's economy? Well, yes, it is. It is only the reason you have come to faith in the first place. Kindness is only the reason that you have come to faith in the first place. Kindness is the only reason that you will spend an eternity in heaven with our Creator, as opposed to an eternity not in heaven. That is the import of kindness in our lives. In Romans 2, verses 3 to 5, Paul says, "But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness?" Everything that I was saying before suggests that we have a tendency to think lightly of the riches of God's kindness. "Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" If there was not a demonstration of the kindness of God, where would we be? "But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." That is the person that doesn't know kindness. So, my whole attempt here in these first few moments is to put kindness in a little bit more of a serious perspective for us as Christians. So we are to be kind one to another. And how? With the same degree, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And so that's where I want to spend a good part of the rest of the message, is God in Christ. What was that demonstration of kindness that God did for us in Christ that brought us to repentance? We cannot understand kindness, though, or tenderheartedness, forgiveness, until we understand fully what it means, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So what does it mean? If we think on that for a moment, think of yourself as an enemy of God. We just put ourselves in a place where God has not demonstrated His kindness to us. Think for a moment of you separate from God. You are an enemy of God. Now think for a moment an enemy that you might have, an enemy that has wronged you greatly. If no one has done that to you, think of an instance, a scenario, where an enemy has wronged you greatly. Now, I don't mean just punched you in the arm either. I mean has committed a serious offense against you and your being. That is an enemy. Now, I want to state that without Christ, we are indeed enemies of God. How do you feel toward that enemy who has wronged you greatly? I want to kill that person. Hatred. Wrath, anger, vengeance. I want to see justice done. Now multiply that times infinity. Okay? And I want to put you in that place, because that is the degree of separation between a holy God and where you stand without Christ in God. And it is that kindness of God that is that bridge. That kindness of God through Christ that will be that bridge that is going to bring you back to God. That is going to bring you into that place. You see, kindness is no little thing. It is not a trite act. Kindness, it is what God demonstrates to us to bring us to repentance, to bring us into right relationship with Him. We are in a debt to God greater than we can imagine without Christ. We tend to whitewash ourselves in this regard, but the Bible describes our righteousness before God in Isaiah 64:6. For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. This filthy garment is soiled in a most disgusting, embarrassing, and shameful way. I'm not going to go into it here. But let your imaginations go. Just take license and imagine yourself in a garment that is so soiled. It is so embarrassing. It is so disgusting. It is so repulsive to all around you. This garment is irreparable. All right. That is an example of your righteousness. Isaiah wanted to put this into perspective for you, so you didn't think too highly of yourself and of your own kindness and of your own goodness. Because as good as you think you might be, and you might have been born into a good home with good Christian parents and good everything, you know, and just you memorize verses all your life, I don't care. The degree of goodness that you might demonstrate is not going to be any better than this filthy garment that Isaiah describes. It is an uncleanness that is not recovered from by yourself. Our power to overcome this is like a withered leaf taken by the wind, the second half of that verse. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. Our power to overcome this, like the withered leaf taken by the wind, completely helpless. Think of what strength that leaf has as it faces the wind. What strength in itself does that leaf has as it faces the wind? What recourse does it have? What power does it have to just stand up to it, let alone move forward? It is a withered leaf. It has no power. It has no recourse. It has nothing that it can do. Again, a little perspective building of where you stand in terms of your own righteousness and what it took for God in a demonstration of His kindness to bring you back. So Paul is right when he says to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 3, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." So, think rightly. Don't think too highly of yourself. And let's now put kindness of God in its place. Who was God kind to? And was that kindness of significant merit? Well, God was kind to us. Again, 1 Peter 2, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." That calling is taking that withered leaf out of the wind and healing it and redeeming it and putting it into a place of honor. But that calling did not come without a cost. What did it take for God to be kind to me, to be kind to us? Were we worthy? Was there anything I did to earn the kindness of God? Think for a moment of anything you did that merited the kindness of God. Think for a moment, anything that you might have done, any good deed. Just take a moment. What's the first thing that comes to mind? Don't shout it out. Just think about it. First thing that comes to mind of just a really good thing that you did that made you really feel good about what you did. That act of kindness that you did that you knew that drew you closer to God. And the merit of that act that you did. Now let me take you back to that filthy garment. And I just want to show you that our righteousness is as filthy garments in and of ourselves. Because God now sees you, though, through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's the good news. Since He has called you out of darkness and purchased you with the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, who has clothed you in the holiness of Christ, at the cost of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, and taking every bit of wrath and judgment we deserve upon Himself. That is the importance of kindness. That demonstration of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, coming to earth, living as a man, sinless, taking upon Him the wrath of God, the sin of the world, every bit of justice. Remember that justice, that wrath? We are the enemy of God. That thing times infinity, that justice that had to be paid, that is what Jesus took upon Himself at the cross. But because Jesus is indeed God, He could take it and He could have victory over it, thereby extend to us a kindness so great that we can come before God now because of what He did for us. You know, I can talk all night long and put you guys to sleep and still not touch on the depth of the ramifications of the kindness that God demonstrated to us. You see, kindness is a big deal, a really big deal. And we are to be kind to each other just as God in Christ, through His kindness, has forgiven us His sins, our sins. Talking about forgiveness and how we are to act, remember our text. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. This is more than just being nice to each other. This is more than just being paying forward. This is a kindness that is born out of humility. This is a kindness of being born out of a realization that the debt that has been paid for me is so great. There's nothing that I could have done to earn anything. That is out of that debt of gratitude that I'm exhibiting kindness. But what, I mean, it would be easy for me to be kind to all of you because I like you guys. And that's a good thing. And hopefully vice versa. But sometimes in Christendom, Christians do mean and inappropriate things to other Christians. Why? Well, we're sinners. Sometimes we get pride, we get arrogant, we get whatever. We allow sin to take root in our lives and we sin against ourselves and against each other. And we can choose to hold a grudge against someone who has wronged us, especially a Christian, or we can do as the scripture suggests. Wait, was that a suggestion? As the scripture commands, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. As long as they demonstrate the same kindness and tender-heartedness toward you. He doesn't say that. It's not a conditional statement. You see, we were in that state of being an enemy with God. That place where we require justice to be done to us. That place where the wrath of God was completely warranted against us. We were in that place of having greatly wronged God, the holiness of God, and separated ourselves from God. We were in that place where our garments, even our best garments, were this filthy, disgusting state. We were in this pit when God demonstrated kindness to us. And I guarantee you that no Christian has ever and can ever wrong you as much as we as an individual have ever wronged God. And the text says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. God in Christ has forgiven you. The importance of kindness found here, Romans 2:4. We heard it earlier this evening. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? The kindness of God that leads us to repentance. You see, kindness is a big deal. A really big deal. I read that. Must have been really important that Providence brought me back to that place. And we are to be kind to each other, just as God in Christ, through His kindness, has forgiven us of our sins. Here's another example, a parable that Christ gave in Matthew chapter 18. Peter is asking, how many times to forgive? I think we've heard the story before. I'm going to go through it again. It's in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. I'm going to read that text, comment on it later. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? You've heard preachers say that maybe perhaps Peter was trying to be, you know, very generous and all that. I don't know. I don't know that the text really says what Peter was feeling at the time. So I'm not going to attribute to Peter any particular attitude one way or another. Peter could have been completely sincere. But Christ wanted to take it one level more. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So, to Peter's mind, Jesus just told him times infinity. Seven being a number of perfection in the Jewish mindset there. 70 times seven. Yeah, that's how they would have said times infinity. Because we can be wronged that many times by a number of people and we still would not have matched the depth of the wrong that we have committed against God. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. You see, even all that would not have touched on the debt that this servant owed the king. For him not only to lose his own self, but to have his wife and family sold into slavery. I mean, anything save his own life was taken away. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So this fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, the lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you?" And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. I think the inference being that slave was tortured for all of eternity because he could not repay the debt that was owed. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. The importance of kindness. I didn't do that. The importance of kindness. So who are we in this parable? Are we the Lord? Think of yourself. Are you the Lord in this parable? No. Are you the second servant? The one who owed 100 denarii to the first servant who was forgiven that great debt? I think sometimes we put ourselves there because we don't think of ourselves as being so stupid as this servant who owed 100 talents. I mean, how is it that we can be so dumb? I mean, you read that and you think, well, that unreasonable. Is that me? Okay, sorry. I'm not that unreasonable. Let me just say that, well, in light of certain experiences that I've had, fairly recently, both in from where I came from in California and locally here and stuff like that. Now I think pretty highly of myself and my intellect. Yeah, it can happen to you too, because it happened to me. You can be that unreasonable toward one of your brothers who, in comparison to the debt that you owe God, this little thing that ruffled your feathers, put your socks in a bunch, whatever, is nothing in comparison. And yet God commands us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. That is the kindness that we need to show. So no, we are not that little guy that owed 100 denarii. Although subconsciously we might put ourselves in his shoes, because we don't think of ourselves as being so stupid as to be forgiven such a great debt and yet go out and be so annoying, so obnoxious to one of our brothers. Yet I have to say, I bet we do it all the time. Every time we hold a grudge against somebody, a brother or a sister who we perceive has wronged us, rightfully or wrongly, we perceive that they have wronged us. They have said, they may have gossiped behind our back. They may, whatever it was. And if we choose to hold that grudge, we are not demonstrating kindness. We are not being tender-hearted, forgiving one another. We are in fact being just like that servant who owed such a great debt and yet oblivious. I mean, it's like he's released from this great debt and forgets about it. So shallow-minded is he. And then goes and demands satisfaction from his brother. Be kind to one another is an imperative. It is a command that has pretty significant ramifications. It is a cornerstone of our faith, because it was through kindness that we were even able to come to faith in the first place. Keeping these things in mind, our kindness is a genuine Christian expression. Not kindness rooted in the fear of man, people-pleasing, duty-bound for the sake of appearances, but genuine kindness because out of a profound humility, knowing what we deserved and have been saved from because of what God in Christ has done for us, He saved us. We have our moral platitudes in society, kindness being one of them. But it is much more than that. But with the understanding of the gospel of Christ comes true kindness. So be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Because He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to be humble, that you would help us to recognize where we stand in you through Jesus Christ, that our own righteousness is as filthy rags, is as filthy garment, but that it was through the satisfaction that Christ gave on the cross that we are able to come into the presence of our holy God and will be able to spend an eternity with our holy God. Help us, Lord, in humility to remember that kindness that you demonstrated to us, Lord Jesus, so that we can in turn demonstrate kindness toward each other, each of our brothers and sisters. Lord, even when we are wrongfully, genuinely wrongfully treated, when we are sinned against, even as we sinned against you, Lord God, you demonstrated your kindness toward us to bring us to repentance. Help us too, Lord, to not be like that servant, but also demonstrate the same sort of kindness and forgiveness, tender-heartedness towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. That we may glorify you, Holy God. For it is your kindness that draws us to repentance. Lord, help us to demonstrate that kindness too, to glorify you in a lost world. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.